Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
We're going to acknowledge the cultural moment of today's opening of the exhibit about Oprah Winfrey at the Smithsonian Museum of African American History in Washington. It's called Watching Oprah, and she spoke at a kickoff event marking the opening yesterday, and we'll play a clip now and then invite a few calls if you were ever inspired by Oprah Winfrey. So if she ever mattered to your life, which, as we will hear in this clip, was always one of her central goals, not just to have a successful talk show and make a hit, but to empower the unempowered, make a difference at the personal level for many people, even as she also mattered at the cultural level. So if you were ever inspired by Oprah Winfrey, if Oprah ever changed your life in any way, as this Smithsonian exhibit launches today, there's a lot of this on Twitter right now and other social media. We invite your story of how Oprah changed or influenced your life, maybe through a book she recommended, maybe through something she herself said, maybe something a guest she had said, maybe something else. How did Oprah change or influence your life? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Now, in this clip we have from last night, Oprah talks about this as a principle of her show, as I said. But she starts by quoting from the poem by Sojourner Truth, Ain't I a Woman?
That little man in the back over there say, women need to be helped into carriages and over mud puddles. And I'm here to tell you, ain't nobody helped me into no carriages. And I ain't never been helped over nary a mud puddle. And ain't I a woman? But because it's often just us talking to us about us, because we're often the only people listening when we're talking to us about us. It's been difficult for us to be heard, but not anymore. Not anymore because we have the National Museum of African American History and Culture. My inspiration, like, I went through the whole exhibit. It's quite extraordinary. It's, may I say, hashtag goals to have your exhibit on exhibit at a museum. But I got through the whole exhibit yesterday, and the thing that made me cry was at the end, there was a book where people had written just what the exhibit meant to them and what the Oprah show had meant to them over the years. And a woman wrote, watching you every day is the reason why I love myself so fiercely. And that made me cry, because that is my goal. My intention is to use my life as an inspiration to other people to see what is possible for themselves. Not my life is impossible, but my life is an inspiration for you to see the light in your own. And so what makes me the happiest is when somebody gets that. And all the years on the Oprah show, I could always feel when I had connected to the audience, when something was said and it was actually heard.
So a couple of excerpts of Oprah Winfrey's remarks as pulled by USA Today from the kickoff event yesterday for the opening to the public today of the exhibit called Watching Oprah at the Smithsonian Museum of African American History. So if you were ever inspired by Oprah, if Oprah ever changed your life in any way, perhaps in the very ways that she was saying she was hoping to in that clip, how did Oprah change or influence your life? 212-433-WNYC, and we'll take your calls right after this.
Puerto Rico is in the midst of a difficult recovery. From Hurricane Maria, yes, but even more so from a financial crisis with roots on Wall Street.
How can we pay that? It's completely insane, it's difficult, it's not fair.
This week, WNYC is looking at how players in New York and on the island are trying to climb out of the hole they dug for themselves. Join us for Puerto Rico, the Future of Debt, today on All Things Considered at 4 on WNYC. WNYC is supported by Cardozo Law School of Yeshiva University, hosting a free event with City Council member Mark Levine and Cardozo Law Professor Michael Wilds, answering questions on immigration law, Hamilton Grange Library, June 11th at 5 p.m. The Jerome L. Green Foundation, helping to keep the arts affordable and accessible for audiences across New York City.
Should people who receive government benefits be required to work?
Go to work, go to school, or volunteer some of your time. Those are the rules, and if you don't do that, then you don't qualify.
In America, poor people are vilified.
I'm Amy Walter, and that's The Big Question. Next time on The Takeaway, weekday afternoons at 3 on 93.9 FM.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and so as we acknowledge the cultural moment of today's opening of the exhibit about Oprah Winfrey called Watching Oprah at the Smithsonian Museum of African American History in Washington, and seeing all the love on social media, how did Oprah change or influence your life? Our lines are full. Julia in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Julia.
Hi, Brian. I grew up in Baltimore, and Oprah Winfrey was one of three black women news anchors. It was Oprah Winfrey, Sue Simmons, and Maria Broom, who was later one of the actresses on The Wire. And when Oprah first came to Baltimore, they did a promo where they would do man-on-the-street interviews and ask everybody, what is an Oprah? And people would have funny answers. Somebody said, I think it's some kind of vegetable. And she used to visit the high school that I went to, Western High School. And I became a journalist, you know, seeing those women, not a news journalist, magazine. Mm-hmm. Then years later, I wrote a book called Sister Friends about black women and their sisters or sisterly relationships. And Gayle King is one of the featured groups of sisters. She and her sisters are in that book. So
That's a great start. Thank you very much. How about Susan in the West Village? You're on WNYC. Hi.
Hi, Brian. How are you? Can you hear me?
I can hear you fine.
I love your show. Listen all the time. Well, and I can't even believe you're a caller. I have a Baltimore connection and a Western High School connection.
Okay.
So Oprah is already doing her networking thing. My mother's from Baltimore, and she went to Western High School. And I remember when Oprah was on WJZ TV in Baltimore as well. At any rate, my story was how many years ago Oprah and her personal trainer, Bob Green, wrote an amazing book called Making the Connection. And it was everything that she had learned about weight and food and working out and whatever. And I was 50 at the time. And, you know, 50 is one of those watershed ages, and was feeling like I needed to do something. And I decided that I would do one of the things that Oprah suggested, which is not only going to the gym every day, but making it morning exercise so that it was a priority and it was the first thing that you would do. And Brian, that was 18 years ago. Hmm. I'm now 68 years old, and Oprah changed my life.
Susan, thank you very much. Well, two great stories so far from Julia and from Susan, very different stories, which maybe goes to the breadth of Oprah's influence. And Deborah in Greenwich Village, you're at WNYC. Hello, Deborah.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for taking my call. I heard this, and I just had to say something because I've told so many people this idea that she would say over and over, and I felt like when she said it, she was speaking to me, and it was basically to write down three good things that happen to you every day. And I did it for years. And I was a graphic designer, and I went up and down in the work of I got work, I didn't get work, I get depressed, it would be hard. You know, the gig economy back in the 90s, anyway, that's still happening. And it helped me get a place of like, you know, there's always something good. And I'm really, I owe her a lot, and I consider her a national treasure.
Deborah, thank you very much. And Patty in Indianapolis, you're on WNYC. Hi, Patty.
Well, hi, Brian. Thank you so much for taking my call. I want to tell a story about when I was shopping in a small little boutique in Chicago back in 1984. I happened to be looking for something to wear to my 10-year class reunion. And as I walked out of the fitting room, there stood Oprah. And at the time, of course, she wasn't national. She was just in Chicago, and I don't even think she'd been on the air in Chicago that long. Mm-hmm. And she looked at me, and she was just so excited to tell me how good I looked. She was so kind. She was so genuine. I quite honestly was a little bit taken aback, a little bit intimidated. But right then and there, I just knew that she was going places.
So you knew that she was going places. Did she help you with that genuineness that you described?
Well, she absolutely did help me because she let me know what just a little bit of kindness could do to a person.
Patty,
you know, and I mean, she just absolutely made my day.
Thank you.
And I've tried to, you know, carry that along with me.
Thank you very, very much. You know, there's an article in the Washington Post today with the headline, "The New Oprah Exhibit Looks Like a Reward for Her $20 Million Donation, But Honestly, She Deserves It." It's a restaurant. It's a museum review by Sebastian Smee. And it says, like few others and on a scale rarely matched, Winfrey has used her celebrity to do good. She got people reading again. She established a school in South Africa. She funded scholarships at historically black universities. She helped house people after Hurricane Katrina and Rita. Her donations come to more than $400 million. More than that, this says she has encouraged people to think and care about no end of important issues. People love her because they feel she listens to them, like Patty in Indianapolis. So she is America's confidant. And the review adds, the exhibition has been nicely done. So Susan in Westchester, you're on WNYC. Hi, Susan.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call, Brian. Oprah means a lot to me in a fairly unique way. I'm a psychologist and a professor. And when I teach beginning therapists interviewing skills, I have them watch some of her brilliant interviews because she is an extraordinary interviewer. Her ability to not only be empathic, but to really help others who might have a story where there's some shame or stigma to empower them and make them feel heroic is just a uniquely extraordinary thing. And she's a brilliant empathic interviewer. So she is always part of my curriculum when I teach others how to interview. So maybe that's a little different than she inspires other people, but that's my story.
Thank you, Susan. And that's a good way to end because it kind of puts a capper on what I think we've been hearing from people, which is they're were different ways. It goes to the hugeness of, and the breadth, really, of Oprah Winfrey's influence. The review in the Washington Post says, no African-American woman, you could persuasively argue no man or woman of any race has had a bigger effect on the culture at large over the past 30 years. So on this day of the opening of the Watching Oprah exhibit at the Smithsonian Museum of African American History, there's an example because, man, our lines got flooded with people with all kinds of backgrounds and all kinds of stories. For our brief call-in on how Oprah has influenced your life, callers, thanks.